guaranteed.com.
You're in the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We're here, ladies and gentlemen, to present, as Charles Fort said in the early 20th century, a procession of the damned. And what he's talking about there are things that science cannot explain, doesn't want to explain, doesn't care about, whatever you want. We're here to talk about the things around us that don't have easy explanations, such as UFOs or flying saucers, ghosts, poltergeists, strange creatures of the night, weird conspiracies, the stuff of legends, going back throughout recorded history, weird things happening. We're going to try to understand what's going on. Now, a lot of people are joining the Paracast this week. You've never heard about us before, but certainly by the title of the show, you get the vibe that this is a paranormal radio show. It's a different kind of show, though, because unlike some of our competitors, we don't sit back and hear someone make a crazy claim and say, gosh, golly, gee whiz, isn't that wonderful? We're going to ask some hard questions. Occasionally, we've exposed fakers when they need to be exposed. In other words, we're going to take a serious look at this way-out stuff, and we're all going to have fun. I hope so. We're going to try to find out what's really happening, but sometimes it's the thrill of discovery that makes it all worthwhile. And along for the ride, week after week, will be four co-hosts. These are friends of mine, and they've taken their own personal journeys into the strange and unknown, and in various ways, they're experts at what they do. I'll introduce them, and then we'll basically have everybody introduce what they are here for, why they're studying this crazy universe of ours, and maybe the discussion will get crazy, wacky, but I am going to be the fly on the wall this week. Going to sit back with you and let them talk, and let's see what they have to say. I'm going to read the guest list, not in alphabetical order, but just whatever order suits me, because I'm host, you see. We have Christopher O'Brien. He's done books like Mysterious Valley, where he explores weird goings-on in a particular area of Colorado and elsewhere. He's also written a book called Stalking the Tricksters. And sometimes he does a great trickster voice, right, Chris?
But not today, Gene.
Okay, thank you. You see, if I egg him on, he'll do it later. Or he'll do it off the air. Paul Kimball is a film producer. He's done documentaries on different subjects. He participated in kind of a Ghost Hunters type show in Canada. And also, he has a documentary called Best Evidence about UFO cases, among many things he's done. Greg Bishop has also, and continues to host, his own mysterious radio show. He's written extensively on the subject. He's been around for quite some number of years studying these things. Nick Redfern, well, he's written so many books I can't begin to list them all. He's done a lot of mainstream writing. He's also written about the strange, the unknown, and he's always got a book up his sleeve. Every time we talk to Nick, he's got a new book, it seems, because he works very hard, and he writes day and night, as I said, normal subjects and the unconventional. And I'm going to ask our guests just what brings them, what draws them to this field. Greg, since you've done radio too, what draws you to UFOs and the paranormal?
I think the main reason is that I'm interested in things that tweak the nose of popular assumptions, popular knowledge, the assumptions people make and don't really think about too much. Anytime somebody's in there, or something in the case of paranormal and UFOs, is in there telling, you know, kicking somebody and saying, you don't know everything, or there's more you need to learn if you're open to it. That interests me, and that's what keeps my interest going.
How long have you been following this stuff?
I don't know, seriously, since the late 80s, but as kind of a reader and a consumer of the subject, probably since I could read. I mean, I was reading UFO and Bigfoot books from when I could put sentences together and make sense of them, actually, I think.
Now, since you work in the entertainment industry, and it doesn't matter where, do the people you work with look at you and say, you're weird?
Well, no, they don't, because, you know, like a lot of people that are into this subject, you kind of know who you can talk to about it and who is probably best left alone. I'm lucky because in California, and especially in Los Angeles, I think people are more open to it. You can say that's because there's more fruits and nuts here or whatever you want to say. However, like I said, I think people in California are more open to strange ideas or just non-conventional things. You know, Weird California has done very well. It's a book I co-wrote about 4 years ago, and almost every place I go, if the subject comes up, I meet somebody who has read that book and enjoyed it. It's just about weird stuff in California, about UFO sighting places, Bigfoot, people's strange, you know, things they do to their houses and property, haunted houses, things like that. But it's just kind of ingrained, I think, in people out here to just kind of accept it. And in the entertainment industry, actually, I think it's expected that you're going to be creative or weird in some way, no matter what you're doing in the industry. So I guess I'm kind of lucky.
Speaking of the entertainment industry, Paul Kimball, you're not making superhero films. You've done some stuff on the paranormal. Why these subjects?
Well, I'd just like to say, Gene, that if somebody's listening who wants me to make a superhero film, I'm happy to do it.
I think Christopher Nolan is trying to rejigger Superman. Maybe you're up for the job?
Superman, Batman, they've all been taken. I mean, we're sort of down to the C-level heroes. So if anybody wants to do that elongated man film, maybe Aquaman, the Atom, I'm your guy. I know all those guys.
About the Atom, okay? The Atom, isn't his name Ray Palmer?
See, now you just ruined my segue. See, that was going to be a really clever segue.
Well, you see, it's because I read your mind, but let's have the segue. What does that mean to anybody? Because nobody knows what that name means, except those who are fans of the Atom and maybe three or four of our previous listeners.
Well, it's kind of the influence that the paranormal, if you will, has had on popular culture over the last 50 or 60 years. Comics, when they began in the 30s and 40s, Superman, Batman, there was this entire – it's called the Golden Age of Comics. And then they reinvented them in the late 50s and early 60s and brought in a more science fiction-oriented – so Green Lantern, a DC hero, went from being a guy who wielded a magical ring to suddenly an outer space cop, basically. And everybody was kind of given a bit of a science fiction angle. And the Atom – was a character from the old Justice Society of America in the 30s and 40s. And his basic power was he was a short guy, but he fought people. He was a boxer, brawler kind of guy. What they did when they reinvented him in the 60s is they made him a scientist who created a device that would allow him to shrink to submolecular level, to explore all sorts of places, to travel through phone lines and stuff like that. And then, in a nod to the influence that they had sort of had, they called him Ray Palmer. The character's name, his sort of Clark Kent name, if you will, his real name, was Ray Palmer. And, of course, Ray Palmer, to the listeners, I'm sure, would be well known for his contributions to, what would you call it, Fortiana, science fiction, the whole enchilada. Gene, you're older than I am. You would know those better than I would.
Well, I'm older than everybody, but not quite as old as Ray Palmer was. But I knew Ray Palmer. And Ray Palmer was editor of Amazing Stories magazine in the 30s and 40s. And after a long absence, he brought back some classic sci-fi writers to the field, including Edgar Rice Burroughs. His final stories were written for Amazing Stories. But Palmer also got in touch with this would-be science fiction writer named Richard Shaver, who claimed to be in touch with people who lived in the caverns beneath the earth, remnants of an ancient advanced civilization called Deiros and Teiros. And Palmer once started saying at one time, hey, this is true, folks. And you can imagine the people in the science fiction field saying, what? What do you mean it's true? This is science fiction. This is silly space opera kind of science fiction. He said it was true.
Amazingly, I don't know if it's amazingly, but there's no coincidence that after the Second World War, you know, we have Roswell – whatever Roswell was taking place in 1947, the 1948 alleged Aztec crash, then Frank Scully's book Behind the Flying Saucers, all of this going on, flying saucers were big news. UFOs, the idea of life in outer space, atomic weapons, mutants, and all of that transferred into the world, not only of popular fiction, sort of pulp fiction, but also comic books, television, which was a new and growing medium, and feature films as well.
Our co-hosts, Paul Kimball, Christopher O'Brien, Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop, you're in the Paracast. Hey, neighbors, have you been thinking about starting a website? Well, I'm going to tell you about a great offer from HostGator. HostGator is a world-famous leader in web hosting, and they make it easy for you to get your own .com domain name. You create your very own website with their free site builder tools and great selection of templates. Use the coupon code PowerCast. Once again, use the coupon code PowerCast and sign up at this special address, theparacast.com/gator. That's G-A-T-O-R, theparacast.com/gator. Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
What started as an idea to provide power for a small hunting cabin has grown into a passion for creating an alternative energy source that's both affordable and reliable. At Wind Blue Power, our goal is to provide you with the best selection of parts and accessories to power your own ideas. Whether you're building a wind generator from scratch or you prefer a complete bolt-together kit, we've got you covered with fast worldwide shipping and impeccable customer service. Visit us at windbluepower.com. Think green, go blue at Wind Blue Power.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We have a special co-host roundtable, and we're introducing to you, especially since we have many new listeners, Greg Bishop, Nick Redfern, Paul Kimball, Christopher O'Brien. We were talking about Paul Kimball and getting into some of the influences of the early UFO research, about science fiction, about all the things that happened in the late 40s that became so popular in our popular culture. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, sure. You were asking Greg, and you'll ask Nick and Chris what how they sort of get into it. For me, it's a two-prong answer. It was business. In 2001, I did a film on Stan Friedman. It was the first film I directed. I produced a couple others, but I wrote and directed that one. So that was sort of my entree into the sort of my world of looking into the paranormal, not just the paranormal itself, but also the people that are in it, like Stan, fascinate me too, that subculture. But all of us that grew up as I did in the 70s and 80s and the 90s, and even back into the 50s and 60s, would be familiar. We would be tied in a way that previous generations were not, to the idea that there are visitors from outer space, there are alien beings out there, that they're, you know, science, there's more than our science understands, that there's some really weird things going on potentially, and trying to tie that into a more modern scientific culture that we live in. So it shouldn't come as any surprise that people are interested in the paranormal, particularly where there's a scientific bent. It shouldn't come as any surprise that the extraterrestrial hypothesis is the most popular and widely known sort of paranormal explanation for UFOs, because it's what we all grew up with. So it just makes sense.
It's the theme of movies such as E.T. the Extraterrestrial, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, etc.
Right. Absolutely.
Now, let's move to one of our other guests, Nick Redfern. What attracted you to the paranormal?
Well, I'm one of these people, I guess, Gene, who hasn't had yet, you know, the definitive UFO or definitive 14 experience. What got me interested is when I was about five or six, I went to Loch Ness, spent a day at Loch Ness. You know, even at that young age, when my dad told me the story of the Loch Ness Monster, you know, it kind of caught my attention and imagination. And I suppose, like Greg, you know, as I got older, sort of late single digits, early teens or whatever, you know, I got more interested in reading and began to read a lot of things like John Keel and Stringfield and Kehoe, Ivan Sanderson and Bernard Hoovelman, some of the early people in cryptozoology. And it sort of captured my imagination. And I suppose I'm one of those sorts of people who doesn't really do well in the 9-to-5, quote, normal world, you know. And I thought, well, there's got to be something out there beyond just going to school, going to work, and that's it. And so, you know, I began doing investigations into strange phenomena and writing a few articles and book reviews for some of the newsletters that existed back in the 1980s in England, you know, sort of self-published zine-type publications. And when I left school, I began working on a rock music magazine in England called Zero. And that sort of, which was really the only thing I wanted to do, and it was the only thing I could do. I wasn't that particularly good a student, and, you know, but I enjoyed writing and enjoyed reading. And so, you know, I was one of these people who I did I got interested in doing something that was really the only thing I could do. And, you know, I mean, I found that, from my perspective at least, you know, I enjoy doing the investigations. I think there's a lot of weird phenomena, if you like, out there that intrigues me, and I enjoy kind of like peeling away the layers of the onion, so to speak, to find what's at the heart of it. And, you know, there's other aspects of Fortiana that just bore me stupid, you know, I'm just not interested in. But there's certain ones like UFOs, cryptozoology, that do deeply interest me. So, you know, it sort of goes back to, like Greg, to my sort of formative years as a young kid, and then, you know, listening to it and reading it wide-eyed, and then realizing that amongst a certain small amount of good stuff, there was a lot of very bad and complete nonsensical stuff. But, you know, that sort of age 5 or 6, it's difficult to differentiate between the two. And even for some of us now, it's slightly difficult to differentiate between what's good and what's bad, but that's part of what we do. So.
And on this show, on the PowerCast, we try to separate the signal from the noise is our motto. And what it means, ladies and gentlemen, is we try to look at claims that seem to have more of a basis of fact. Of course, when you're dealing with individual encounters where someone sees something, where one or two people see something unusual, you know, it's really hard to prove. It's not as if you have solid, rock-solid evidence about it. So the question I have to ask, obviously with Paul and Greg, they're in show business. We expect them to be weird. Nick, you, of course, wrote for a rock magazine, so it goes to follow. But do your people now, you're living in the United States, the people that you encounter say, oh, you're that guy who writes all that crazy stuff?
Not really. I mean, I wouldn't say that most people where I live know anything about what I do anyway, you know. I mean, friends obviously know, but, you know, beyond that, I would say most people in the street I live in don't know what I do. you know, I mean, when I speak to people about it, you know, I don't get people sort of like Greg. I think it's more like a stereotypical image. People think if you write about this, other people think you're weird. But, I mean, I truly don't get people backing away from me or anything like that when I say I write books about Bigfoot. Some of them just might say, oh, that's interesting, you know, what's on TV? But because they're not really interested. Others actually are interested to talk about it, and some are deeply interested. But, you know, I think it is more like a media mythology that if you're into Bigfoot or UFOs, that you're kind of weird and on a par with almost like a, you know, some antisocial idiot or whatever. So, no, I don't really get that sort of response. It's either, wow, that's interesting, or, that's mildly interesting.
Kind of like the Lone Gunman TV show some years back, the spinoff from The X-Files, where everybody there looked weird. That was was the stereotype.
Yeah, no, my personal view is, you know, there's a lot of people in the 4TN world who I disagree with and a lot I agree with. But where I would, you know, sort of cast doubt on the image of, you know, what we perceive to be is, as you've just said, with the Lone Gunman, you know, these three sort of isolated guys who don't really have lives away from what they do and can't function in the real world and just live in like some attic or whatever with banks of computers. You know, it's like, I mean, for me, you know, I try and do a normal working day, sort of 7 till 5, and unless we're doing like radio shows or whatever, then, you know, me and my wife just hang out at night, go out for drinks, dinner, watch TV. We do normal stuff, you know, and I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. If you're into, you know, most people in the UFO field aren't ufologists. They're people who happen to be interested in ufology. You know, there is no such thing as a ufologist who, that's their life. Well, actually, no, there are a few like that, but for the most part, it's people who have normal lives but have an interest in weird stuff as well.
You don't grow horns at night?
But not always, no.
Okay, only on Thursdays.
Exactly.
Speaking of tricksters and people like that, Chris O'Brien, what were you doing before you got attracted to this subject?
I lived in New York City for quite a number of years, through the mid to late 70s, through the 80s, and was a professional keyboard player, so I guess you can lump me in with the crazy entertainment types here. But my whole attraction to the subject matter happened as a result of a very life-changing experience I had when I was very young. Just turned 7, and
we'll get into that life-changing experience in a moment. My co-host, Christopher O'Brien, Paul Kimball, Nicholas Redfern, Greg Bishop, you're in the PowerCast.
You are about to enter another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a sinister land of secret rites, passwords, initiations, and handshakes, where the truth remains hidden and history is controlled by an elite group of mysterious men. Imagine, if you will, that I'm holding a book in my hands that explains this secret history, and that the name of this book is Conspiracies and Secret Societies, The Complete Dossier. Here is described centuries of dark dealing, lies, murder, mayhem, and cover-ups in the pursuit of unimaginable money and power. My name is Brad Steiger, and the stories you are about to read may have actually happened at the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Conspiracies and Secret Societies, The Complete Dossier.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Remain in your houses. The President of the United States has declared martial law under Executive Order 11004.
Will they do it? Will they pull the trigger this time? We all pray they stand down, but an engineered crisis seems more likely with each passing day. Think it can't happen here? Executive Order 10990 locks down all highways. Executive Order 10995 seizes control of all media outlets. Executive Order 10998 controls all farms and food supplies. All these executive orders are now cocked, loaded, and waiting for the right crisis. So if you're worried about the possibility of martial law here in America or have questions about how to survive it, go to martiallawsurvival.com. That's martiallawsurvival.com. Go to martiallawsurvival.com right now.
You must remain in your houses until your bracelets are scanned.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
You're in the Paracast. We're talking with Paul Kimball, Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop. Christopher O'Brien got his first exposure when you were 7 years old.
That's correct. I didn't ask for it, but it happened, and it definitely had a lifelong impact on me, and I've always had an absolute deep fascination for, you know, UFOs, the paranormal in general, you know, across the board, subject-wise, and I happened to move to a very interesting region of Colorado in the late 80s, and inadvertently got involved in becoming a field investigator. I innocently started out just to write a little 500-word article for my little town paper and reporting on a whole slew of UFO sightings and cattle mutilation cases that were taking place. And I ended up on national TV in 2 months, so it just kind of grew a life of its own. I was able to, you know, get a network of law enforcement, ex-military people, ranchers, farmers, college students, housewives, a whole network of sky watchers to feed me leads on reports. And I spent 13 solid years running around investigating, you know, just an incredible potpourri of unusual events that occurred in the San Luis Valley, Colorado, where I lived. So that's kind of how I got involved in all this. And you know, unlike a lot of people, I think, that are closet buffs in this field, I have no qualms about stating my interest in these subjects. I've never really felt that the subject matter was ever held against me. I think anybody that knows me knows that I'm pretty level-headed. So I think that actually helps people understand, I think, a little bit more why I'm so motivated. Unlike a lot of people in ufology, which, you know, has always constantly sort of surprised me, most ufologists have never really had any sort of personal experiences. I know Stanton Friedman, for instance, has never seen a UFO. In my case, because we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sightings, and I had a really extensive network spread around about 10,000 square mile area. I was able to run out, and I've had quite a number of experiences of you know, objects and lights and actually structured craft that just, you know, don't conform to what you would consider conventional, let's say, military or conventional crafts. So my fascination with this comes fueled by personal experience. And, you know, I'm not a true believer. I have a hard time even believing some of my own experiences. I'm very skeptical but open-minded about these subjects. And I'm very sensitive to how the culture is trying to program itself into believing, I think, you know, cut-and-dried sort of, you know, answers or supplying answers to a lot of these mysteries that are too simplistic in my view. And I think we're dealing with a much more complex scenario, and that's why I really love the Paracast and the forums and this show, is because this show stretches our points of belief and gets, I think, is going to get the listener to really think about what they truly believe, why they believe it, and open them up to alternative ways of looking at these mysteries.
Considering the alternative ways of looking at the mysteries, of course, the conventional wisdom, such as it is, and how can you deal with conventionality when you're talking about the unconventional, is when you say flying saucers, UFOs, it's ET. ET is here. They're coming to look at us in Independence Day. They're coming to destroy us. ET, the extraterrestrial, they're taking soil samples, whatever. But you're saying it's more complicated than that. So do you not believe that there's an ET?
Well, I think it's pretty much a foregone conclusion with billions of galaxies and quadrillions of stars that there's got to be some form of intelligent life in this three-dimensional cosmos or universe that we inhabit. But whether we're important enough on this little blue marble spinning in space for any of them to come here and conduct, you know, medieval medical experiments, I love Terrence McKenna, says that they're uninvited pro bono proctologists. I love that particular way of looking at it. I don't think we're important enough for anything out there to come and exhibit the types of behavior decade after decade. That it just doesn't make sense. There's something nonsensical, something tricksterish, something that doesn't add up in terms of looking at all these visitations, let's say, from an ET hypothesis standpoint. I think there's something much more intense, complicated, and probably closed system. I think that some way humanity is in some way, shape, or form helping manifest these entities here in our reality.
Well, when I talked to Paul Kimball on an earlier episode, he had taken the position he thinks ET being the more likely explanation. So what would you have to say to what Chris explained here?
Well, I'd say that everybody's entitled to their opinion. I respect Chris's. I just disagree with it. I think, to me, there's absolutely no question that the extraterrestrial hypothesis makes the most sense. It doesn't mean that it's proven. It doesn't mean that other possibilities might not be true as well. There probably is more than one answer, including the fact, well, I shouldn't say fact, but including the likelihood that most UFO cases, and perhaps even all UFO cases, with proper investigation, could be explained in prosaic terms, what we would consider prosaic terms, meaning man-made or of our own world. But if you look for a paranormal explanation, and I use the term paranormal to mean something outside our realm of experience as humans walking on this planet, and I would include aliens from another planet as being paranormal, then I think it's the most logical, the most likely explanation that also doesn't require us to stretch the boundaries of scientific understanding to the breaking point and beyond, because we can already travel to other worlds. We already have. Whether we've traveled in person to the moon, or we've traveled by robots to Mars, or by probes to the outer edge of our solar system, even us poor little monkeys on this blue dot can travel within our own solar system. If you posit a civilization that's a few hundred or even a few thousand years older than us, then who knows what they're capable of? And as to why they would come here, well, they might not be here for us. They might be here for what our planet offers. We don't know what the universe offers, what our planet might have that we don't even understand is valuable. I mean, when the European explorers came to North America, there were things that they assigned value to that the indigenous natives did not. And conversely, there were things that the Europeans really didn't assign value to, but the indigenous natives found quite valuable, which made for a very unfair trading system. But when you're dealing with different cultures or different races or different peoples, or in this case, different species, how can you say what might or might not be important to them? And when you do that, you're assigning human motivations to something that is inherently alien. So as I said in that previous Paracast episode, Gene, I know that people look at the high strangeness aspects of some UFO cases and say, well, that couldn't possibly be alien. I would expect...
We go further, using the term high strangeness, define what you mean by high strangeness.
Well, a UFO case, using a UFO case here, that has characteristics that seem outside the norm, and talking about the norm of UFO cases, but let's talk about the ones that flying saucers, the supposed aliens from outer space. People see structured craft flying through the sky, and that's about it. That would be a normal, if you can say normal, UFO case. The high strangeness ones are the ones where something very different happens. There's a case from Nova Scotia here up in Canada from the 1970s where you had very quickly had two groups of people in two houses right next to each other, both of whom were experiencing totally different things from one object that was up in the sky, which the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, witnessed and reported. That would be a high strangeness case. But there's nothing about that, to me, that rules out an alien explanation. In fact, I would expect visitors from other worlds to be extremely highly strange to us, to the point of, as Arthur C. Clarke said, their technology appearing to us as magic. I would add their motivations, their actions appearing to us in many cases as magic, or something, as Greg and I were in the Magic Castle just 2 weeks ago, that would seem, like when he pulls the Diet Coke bottle out from under the handkerchief, very strange. I can't explain. That's highly strange to me. But that doesn't mean that an interdimensional being from the eighth dimension or something, or a crypto-terrestrial, just means it's strange. But in terms of the scientific logic of it, to me, without ruling out any of the other explanations, which even the ETH, I mean, Stan Friedman doesn't rule out those explanations. He just focuses on the extraterrestrial one.
We'll focus on more stuff in a moment. We're talking to Paul Kimball, Greg Bishop, Nick Redfern, Christopher O'Brien. You're in the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Your natural, organic, herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, they completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MaineMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish at M10 gas masks are 3 for $30. And Swiss filters are 3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MaineMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MaineMilitary.com, the Maine name in military supply.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Bringing you the best in alternative talk radio for over 10 years. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We have Chris O'Brien, Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop, Paul Kimball talking about high strangeness, but saying that just the presence of ET on Earth, because of the fact they're probably way, way far advanced compared to Earthlings, they could be pretty strange.
Yeah, well, I would expect they would be pretty strange. And I think you asked me why I'm interested in all this, and I think at the end of the day, I did a show with Don Ecker a little while ago, and we talked about this. Don Ecker, a sort of legendary UFO researcher. And Don kind of asked me why I was into all this, and I said, well, look, if the aliens, if there are aliens, I can't summon them. If there are interdimensionals, if there are crypto-terrestrials, whatever, I can't make them appear. What interests me more is sort of the journey of discovery, of trying to figure out not only what these things are, but I think more importantly, that path that you take helps you figure out who you are. So I think, as I said to Don, I can't prove that aliens from Zeta Reticuli exist, but I'm not out to. I'm just kind of here to prove that I exist. And I know that might sound a little new agey, except in Greg's state in California. But I think that's what the journey of discovery is. You're sort of trying to find out as much about yourself as you are about these UFOs or Bigfoot or whatever. And that's part of interacting with our world and trying to understand that there's something more than just the reductionist box that maybe modern society would want to keep us in. So it's about stretching your minds. And if Chris's mind stretching takes him over here and mine takes me over there, well, at least we're thinking about it. And we're thinking, I hate this phrase, but outside the box. And that's a good thing.
Greg, you've been mentioned a couple of times there. Where does your mind stretch?
Well, I agree with Paul that the ETH is probably, from our point of view, the best explanation for where UFO phenomena originates, or a lot of it does, at least the truly unexplained stuff. However, the reason I am more interested in some of the other explanations, what people would call an interdimensional explanation or a crypto-terrestrial explanation, which we can get into, and other things besides pure aliens coming from other planets, is just because it's more exciting and more interesting to me, and it brings, you know, it throws more ingredients in the soup, if you want to call it, and brings more subjects to the table and expands your awareness and your thinking a little bit more into other areas. Now, whether they're fruitful or not as a solution to the UFO mystery, I don't know, but it makes it far more interesting. And as Paul said, and as I've said when people have asked me this, yeah, I don't know if I'll ever find an answer. I don't know if Paul will or Nick will or Chris will or you will. But the point is that along the way, I've learned so much about myself. I've learned about other people. I've learned about the scientific method. I've learned about psychology, sociology, all kinds of things. And as long as I keep my mind as open as possible to, you know, logical, interesting arguments and evidence, then I keep myself, you know, occupied. And I and on top of that, I meet cool people who I can talk to, like the present company here.
Thank you. Me, I'm just old. But in fact, I think Brad Steiger once said, I was here before the dinosaurs ruled the earth. No response. I figured that. I expected that. It's just one of those delayed reactions. That's okay, Greg. I'll forgive you next time.
What? Me? There's three other people on with me. Brad Steiger, I don't care how old he is. He's one of those people that everybody should listen to because he's been around so long that there's almost nothing he says that if you don't agree with it, at least it's interesting.
Nick, what is your definition of high strangeness?
Well, you know, I mean, I can understand where Paul's coming from. The one reason why, I would say I vehemently disagree because, you know, none of us can really know.
We can be vehement if we want, you know. Don't worry about it.
Well, we can, but I mean, we can't because we don't have enough evidence one way or the other to definitively say A, B, or C. But what I would say, one of the reasons why I kind of veer towards the idea that it's not just, quote, just E.T. coming to visit us for scientific reasons or whatever, is that one thing that a lot of people get, and I know Chris has had, and that I get a lot of, and I don't think it's coincidence, is that the more you dig into paranormal phenomena and UFOs, the more weird synchronicities you begin to experience. Now, you know, almost as if you're living in some sort of weird Matrix-type world. And, you know, for me, I mean, I obviously don't understand. If ET technology exists, we can never sort of anticipate how advanced it is. But, you know, I have a hard time understanding how aliens can come to the Earth, and those of us who investigate it, as a consequence, start experiencing weird synchronicities if it's just nuts and bolts aliens.
Okay, synchronicities. Would you define what you mean in this case?
I will. Synchronicity is basically a meaningful coincidence where something happens in your life, you're investigating something. Let's say you go to a bookshop, and you're investigating a 50-year-old UFO case you can't find anything on. You happen to browse through the bookshelves, you knock a book off, you pick it up, and it's fallen open to the page where it mentions the very thing you're looking for. That's like a synchronicity. And, you know, lots of people within ufology get those. I even know people who are vehement adherents of the ETH and who've had them and have found it very disturbing that that could happen, almost as if they're being manipulated. And also what I call crossover cases, which lead me to, again, veer away from the ETH. Crossover cases being where you get elements of one aspect of a 40-year mystery involved in a case involving another aspect. For example, you know, if you look in the whole history of 40-year mysteries, you find numerous cases, folklore, stories, tales of encounters with weird entities and beings at bridges. You know, you can find any culture on the planet pretty much, and there's a little local folklore in the town about the headless lady who haunts the bridge, you know, over the river, that sort of thing. And you get UFO cases along those lines. You get Bigfoot reports. You get ghosts. Now, of course, you could argue that that's because they're simply folklore. But when you get things like that, or you get a Bigfoot sighting in association with weird lights hovering over the woods, then, to me, you know, we have to look beyond just the idea that aliens are visiting us. It doesn't mean they're not, but to me, we have to take it beyond the realm of, you know, sort of the more Kehoe era of ufology, which still pervades much of ufology today, where people just look at it as more advanced beings with a scientific approach coming to the Earth and, you know, conducting experiments and then going back again. To me, even if that is what's going on, there's something more significant that we don't understand going on as well.
Paul, you had a comment.
No. My only comment would be I don't disagree with Nick. You know, it's all I said was if I was going to assign a likelihood, which one is more likely than this one and that one's more likely than that one, I find the ETH to be the most likely explanation. But as I said, it doesn't exclude the other ones, and it certainly doesn't mean that you might be dealing – I mean, you could pull out five UFO cases and of different types, and you could say, okay, well, if you had to assign a paranormal explanation, fine, that one seems more like an extraterrestrial hypothesis. But this one over here, this is really weird. I mean, who knows? And so, you know, the key is to just keep your mind open. I agree with Greg and Nick and even Chris. The only difference between Chris and I is we might, well, we do, I think, sort of assign a different weight to which one is more likely. But it's not, unless I misheard Chris, he's not ruling the extraterrestrial thing out as a possible explanation, and I don't rule the other ones out as a possible explanation.
Chris?
You know, I really, listening to Nick, well, listening to everyone here, this is so stimulating for me to be able to talk about these things in a non-judgmental way and agree to disagree. I think Nick's observation concerning synchronicity and meaningful coincidence is very important, and that, in my mind, is one of the most important clues that I have as an active investigator. I've had outbreaks of UFO sightings that have also had attendant cattle mutilations, Bigfoot sightings, unusual weather, strange societal events that occur, all within a 2 or 3 day time period, also abnormal amounts of strange fires in the area, going around and seeing all this roadkill on the road for some reason. If you start lining these different, what seem to be, you know, totally unrelated type, you know, facts together, and then you look at it, how they all seem to bell curve over a specific time period, that to me indicates that we're dealing with something closed system. Perhaps ETs are coming and somehow are able to affect our reality and somehow manifest these attendant types of phenomenal events. I tend to think not, though. Actually, I think it's something that is closed system. I think that we're dealing with a energetic process that we have not even begun to understand.
You know, at that point, we're going to break for the hour. We have Christopher O'Brien, Paul Kimball, Nicholas Redfern, Greg Bishop. You're in the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.